Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Thanks for getting up bright and early to listen to the program. I got to tell you, it's been going for a while now, and I wonder who's up on Sunday mornings and listening. And I get feedback from people that I run into. So to know that you're listening means a lot, and I hope you enjoy the programs. And today we've got a good one. We've got Catherine Schubert here. She's the Marketing and Communications Manager for one of my favorite organizations, the Connecticut Humane Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks so much for having us today.
Sure. It's so good to have you here. Now, you're fairly new to the organization, according to my memory, but it's probably been longer than I know.
Right. No, it's been about 9 months now, so I'm still learning so much because there are so many great programs happening at CHS. So learning a lot, but it's been a great ride so far.
Well, it's great to have you. And, you know, we see the Connecticut Humane Society out there in so many different ways. I love the Pet of the Week segments that you do on radio and television. You know, that's really important. But, you know, that showcases sometimes, you know, the stories. And that's what I like. You guys are storytellers. How hard do you work at telling the story of someone that needs to be adopted or cared for? How does that work?
Absolutely. Storytelling is so, so important to the role and to what CHS does for the community. And every pet that comes through the door has a story to tell. So really, it's not too difficult to put together the pieces of the story and make it cohesive for somebody to understand what that pet's perspective is. But it's so important and for us to share what they've been through, not only so they get to the perfect home, but so that everyone is aware that there are animals in the community that do need help and that do need support from donors and from community members, from volunteers, all of that.
You know, and that's just it, because it's an emotional thing, an animal. And it's not like, you know, you see the cute little, let's say, rabbit or let's say cat, you know, on television or hear about in the radio, and you just go in and it's yours. There's also a process that you go through, but it's that emotional pull, I think, that you put out to the public that brings most people in your doors, right?
Right. And it's so easy. All the puppies have those puppy dog eyes. Yeah. The cats are so cute. The bunnies, too. I mean, that emotional pull happens with every single animal because they're all unique. And there is that process behind the scenes, too. They get a lot of care from the medical perspective. If they need a spay neuter, if they need a dental surgery, or if they need more care than that, if they need something like seeing a cardiologist. We've had kittens see cardiologists too.
Right.
And whatever care they need, we really are providing that from the medical perspective through the behavioral perspective. Some pets, like we have a dog right now available for adoption. His name's Rocky. He's very cute. He came to us and had spent the first 3 years of his life inside. So he had a lot of quirks that, you know, don't typically come with a dog that's been well socialized. So he went through a couple of months of just getting to know people, getting to know what outside is like, and he is ready for adoption now. Our behavior team did wonders with him, and he's so sweet and so cute. And
what kind of dog?
He's a Lhasa Apso mix. He's adorable.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, though? And that's the thing, you know, maybe I'm just assuming an elderly person that just, you know, couldn't walk the dog or kept it inside, which is just wrong. But then you think about how, like you said, you had all these people surrounding this one animal. You guys even come up with the name, right?
A lot of the times we do when they're puppies or kittens. We have fun ones.
Yeah, so it doesn't just come in the door and out. I mean, and then talk a little bit about, you know, how you go through the process to find the right fit, because not everybody that wants it should get it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when pets come in, we definitely don't give any judgment to whoever's surrendering their animals. In the case with Rocky, you know, you never know what the situation at home could be. So no judgment for those surrendering pets to the to the Connecticut Humane Society. The process for getting a pet into the right home is analyzing what their personality is like, what their behavior traits are like, and making sure that whatever they're going to be bringing into a new home is going to work for that new home. And our adoption counselors are speaking with everybody that comes through the doors too, making sure that their questionnaire and, you know, whatever they fill out for what they have at home, or if they've got another dog, something like that, our adoption counselors are aware of all of that so that the placement can be a success.
Mm-hmm. And then do you require that people spend time with the animal that they're thinking of adopting prior, or how does that work?
Yeah, there's, you know, again, every animal is unique. So mm-hmm. whether or not that dog or cat or bunny or anything is going to need a couple of introductions with a person beforehand, we're going to make sure that they get those introductions. If they need introductions with other pets at the home, they're getting that too. We have tests for the pets that are going to go home to another animal. And we make sure that if a dog or cat or, you know, again, any of the pets.
What else is there, though?
We have a lot of small animals. So guinea pigs are a big thing right now.
Okay.
We got a lot of guinea pigs. Right now, we have two adorable hamsters. They're smaller than normal hamsters, and they're each a month old. They're called Peabody and Sherman.
So
they're very cute. But we also have rabbits. We do ferrets. We do mice and rats.
If you could see my face right now. Okay, that's where I draw the line.
Oh,
no,
boy.
Thanks.
No,
I'm trying to get them out of my house, not in my house.
Oh, man. Well, they all make wonderful pets. So
okay.
They all are well-loved creatures, and they're going to be loving to whoever takes them home. Surprisingly, mice and rats. Anne's making a lot of faces.
I know. I think I'm going to be sick.
Oh, no. No, mice and rats are actually very social creatures, so they're super smart. You can train them. You can get them to really get accustomed to you and become wonderful pets in the home.
And you've got beautiful facilities, too. You know, I've seen you grow. I know you've got fairly new leadership over there, which has been fantastic. I mean, the whole crew over there, when you walk in, it's just everybody's there because they love what they do.
Absolutely. It's so incredible walking into work each day because everybody who is there for the purpose of saving these pets and getting these pets a second chance at life. And so everyone is so dedicated. It's incredible to be surrounded by such a wonderful workforce.
And the other thing that you provide on certain occasions, I know you have a lot, we'll get to the fundraiser part in a minute, but you've got a lot of events where you actually have food drives, because there are people that have pets and just, you know, for whatever reason, can't at a certain time maybe support them with food even.
Right. Right, exactly. So keeping pets in homes is one of the major, major goals of the Connecticut Humane Society. There's a lot of situations where people can't afford care for their pets, and we don't want that to get in the way of having the pets stay in the home that loves them. It's very stressful to be rehomed. It's very stressful to have to go through the process of leaving the people that have cared for you your whole life.
Right.
And so for those pets, we want to make sure that we're providing whatever we can to those families. So whether that's medical care, whether that's getting them extra funds for providing a surgery that's going to save their lives. But we do also have those pet food pantries, like you mentioned. So Pet Food Pantry and Traveling Pet Food Pantry go throughout the state of Connecticut to get people food for their pets, just like it works as a food bank for people. So that provides food and that extra support, so that couple of months that they get that support, that gets them back on their feet, that allows their pet to stay at home, and everyone's happier for it. So.
Right. And, you know, depending on how many pets you have, I mean, even if you have a large dog, I mean, pet food is expensive.
It is.
So, and you want to keep them going. So talk a little bit, too, about, you know, folks that might be listening to the show. And again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Catherine Schubert. She's the Marketing Communications Manager for the Connecticut Humane Society. And talk a little bit, if you can, about people that do want to help. The people, you know, I see a lot of people on, you know, I'm going to give all these blankets to the Connecticut Humane Society, or I'm going to give these pillows. I mean, what are the things that pets need?
Yeah, so we actually have a whole wish list for the pets that's on our website. It's cthumane.org/wishlist. And on there, we have a list of the types of pet food that are really helpful for the pets in the shelter, as well as for that pet food pantry. We have certain dog treats and toys, because seeing a dog in the shelter play with their squeaky toy is just so heartwarming. It's lovely to see that. And of course, those blankets, those kinds of donations too. We do have certain requirements for what's going to be okay for the pets. So that website, cthumane.org/wish.
Right. Go and do your homework before you try to do a nice gesture of dropping something off and it's not on the wish list, or it doesn't, you know, meet the qualifications, because you got to have some rules, right? You got to have some regulations. You know, I love all the stories, too, of all the pets. I mean, do you have one, like, since you've been at the Connecticut Humane Society that really touches your heart?
Oh, there are so many. I have an office, and so I usually get cats that come up to my office when they need a little bit extra space or a little bit of extra socialization. And I've had some really great cats in there so far. I wasn't a cat person entirely coming onto this job. Mm-hmm. I'm actually allergic to cats.
Oh, wow.
But they have just absolutely changed me. They are so sweet. Recently, we had a story about this cat named Esme. She came from a situation where she was in a home with far too many cats and not enough human interaction. Mm-hmm. So she was very shy when she was leaving my office. The behavior team was giving her her space and just trying to introduce her slowly into, you know, just life with people in a different situation. And it didn't really work for her. She was going to be a shy cat. We called her a spirit cat. And spirit cats typically are cats that are not going to interact with people. They're going to hide in the corner, and you're just there to give them a home so they have a roof over their head and food and all that. And so she was labeled as a spirit cat, and a wonderful adopter came home and or came to the Connecticut Humane Society, brought her home, and a couple weeks went by, and we got an email from the adopter, and he said that Esme was not a spirit cat anymore. She's a very spirited cat. And hearing that story from her transforming, he shared with us that Esme had been hidden in a room underneath a dresser. She didn't want to interact with him. She would hiss when he'd go to check on her. And she actually opened up the bedroom door so that she could let herself out. And she decided she was going to hang out with everybody from then on out. She was a couch cat watching TV, cuddling up on their lap. Aww. So that was a recent story.
Well, it just shows you what love and affection can do for anything.
Absolutely.
Anybody, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's what you have to do.
It transforms the pets. It's absolutely heartwarming to see that. And even in the shelter, a pet will come in after going through a really stressful time of being surrendered, leaving their home, and they'll be a little bit shut down for a little bit. But after the care they get with the animal care teams and behavior and medical, they just warm up. And then you just know from then on out they're going to warm up even more when they get to go to their next home too.
Right. So I know that you have volunteers, but you have a volunteer program. So that's another thing. If you're going to drop off things, that's one thing. If you want to volunteer, learn what the commitment is. And there's training that goes into that. People just don't show up and say, I want to go walk a dog.
Right. Yes. No, we have a wonderful volunteer program. And we always have availability for volunteer positions. So that's on our website too, cthumane.org/volunteer. And the volunteer training really gets you all of the know-how for whatever role you're going to take on. So we have volunteers that walk dogs, of course. We also have critter cuddlers. So they'll come in just to socialize with the small animals and have them sit in their lap for a little bit, get used to people. We also have germ busters. They are essential for getting our kennels clean and taking care of just the daily responsibilities that come with having pets.
Yeah.
And, you know, laundry assistants, every sort of role that you can imagine in the shelter we have available for our volunteers. And it's just absolutely incredible to see so many people coming in to support in that way and give their time and give back to the pets in that way, because time is everything.
It is. And there are a lot of people out there wondering, what can I do with my idle time? It's interesting, Catherine, because I had a gal that worked for me, and we were doing some work with the Connecticut Humane Society, and she said, I've got a volunteer here. You know, she was very busy, but she made the time, she made the commitment, she went through the training, and it was the best part of every day when she got to go volunteer, you know, at the Connecticut Humane Society.
Yeah.
Where are you at with locations and what's new?
Yeah, absolutely. So we still have our three locations, Newington, Waterford, and Westport, and newly coming onto, you know, that series of locations, we have a new location opening in Wilton to serve the Fairfield County area. That's going to include that pet food pantry again. It's also going to include another veterinary clinic, just like our Fox Memorial Clinic in Newington.
When's that going to be open?
So our groundbreaking is happening in September.
Okay.
So likely 2024, fall of 2024.
So it's a whole new facility.
Yes, that's right. Brand new.
You got to thank your donors too a lot for things like that, so that, you know, you're serving the entire state now. That really opens the doors, like you said, for the people in Fairfield County. But you don't build this on your own, do you?
Absolutely not. My goodness, the donors are so integral to the program. We are an entirely donor-based organization, so everybody that is giving back to the pets are absolutely essential to everything that's happening. So that includes that new facility to serve even more pets. That includes the Fox Memorial Clinic that currently exists to provide low-cost veterinary care to pets in this community. Donors are absolutely everything to the Connecticut Humane Society, and there's just not enough thanks in the world to give to them.
And, you know, when you go to some of the events that the Connecticut Humane Society, and I've had the pleasure of attending many over the years, you see the people and how committed they are. But there are also employees that are there committed on a daily basis too, right?
Right, absolutely. So we have animal care staff that are full-time staff, behavior staff is full-time, and we have on-site veterinarians too that are serving the pets every day. So lots of staff to take care of the pets.
Right. So what does the future look like? look like? What do you want people to know, and what can we do?
Absolutely.
We talked about a lot of options, but what else can we do?
Yeah, the community is everything. Here in Connecticut, we have to all work together. Once you're a pet lover, you're always a pet lover. So we know there's lots of people out there who want to give back in some way to pets in need. And local pets in need do exist. We have a lot of pets here that need care, that need support from the community. And giving back, whether that's donating, whether that's volunteering, whether that's fostering a pet that needs just a little bit of a little bit of socialization before they go home, or adopting. There's so many ways to get involved, and all that's listed on our website.
Right, too. And there is a cost. We should tell people there is a cost that comes with adoption, correct?
Exactly, yes. So there are fees for adopting. It's based on the pet's age and their species. So dogs, cats, and small animals all have different rates. But depending on their age, the fees start at around $100 for a senior dog or $80 for a senior cat, and then they go up from there.
Okay, and what does that money go towards?
Absolutely. So between everything that the animals need care-wise, whether that's they needed a spay-neuter when they first arrived, whether they needed extra medical support, whether our behavior team had to give a little bit of time to that pet to make sure that they were ready for a home, your adoption fee goes towards all of that, but it also goes towards any vaccinations that they needed to make sure that they're okay to go out into the community, and things like that is what the adoption fee covers. And so it's really important that we have that fee in place so that we also know that pets are just going to get that care continuously as they
come in. I know it changes. Population changes by the minute, probably, if not by the hour, right? And so that's the other benefit of the website. You know, the information, you can see what pets are currently there. But do you do holds? Like, let's say I go on the website and I see, a cute pet at your Newington facility, I say, hold that pet for me. Do you do that?
So we don't do holds. There's no waiting list or anything like that. It is first come, first serve. And of course, you have to go through that process, speaking with our adoption counselors, making sure it's going to be the right fit for your home. But you can give us a call anytime. And if you're interested in a pet, you can ask those questions over the phone and say you're coming down to meet them. And, you know, we'll do our best to make sure that you get to meet that pet.
So I know things change, like I just mentioned. But so what's going on at the, what do you have in the Connecticut Humane Society right now? Can you particularly talk about any particular pet that's there?
Yeah, most definitely. So about a week and a half ago, we took in a transport of dogs. We work with the Bissell Pet Foundation, and they will tell us when there's a need outside of the state of Connecticut for dogs to be transported elsewhere. So we were asked to participate in a transport of dogs that were surrendered because of a closure to a puppy mill, as well as a separate commercial breeder. So they had taken in 225 dogs in Missouri, and they asked us to step in. We are partners with them. Whenever we can, we are glad to help. And they asked us to step in, and we took in 21 dogs. So right now, those dogs are going through the process behind the scenes.
What kind of dogs?
All sorts of dogs. A lot of small breeds.
Well, you said it was a breeder, right? Or a bad breeder.
Right. Well, they're a commercial breeder and a puppy mill. So two separate situations. So we have a lot of different breeds from that. We have some dachshunds. We have some little terrier guys too, little poodles, a lot of different kinds. There were 21 dogs that came in, so I'm still trying to get to meet
them. No, I know. Yes, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I just thought with a breeder, they might be, you know, who knows. But, you know, isn't it awful? But isn't it great that there's other organizations that, you know, you're not isolated. Connecticut Humane Society has a lot of different partnerships in a lot of different places. And I was there one night at the Connecticut Humane Society when I think it was from flooding in Missouri that a bunch of dogs came in, and just the emotion of seeing those pets, knowing that they've been rescued and that they're going to be, you know, taken care of, and then hopefully finding, as we call it, their forever home.
Right.
There's no better feeling. I get goosebumps even thinking about it.
Those are incredible to witness. We do a lot of transports to help in situations like that where there's a natural disaster elsewhere and they need to make room for pets that have been separated from their owners in those places. So one of the dogs, too, that really spoke to me when I first arrived at CHS, his name was Stormcloud, and he came from a flooding situation in Kentucky. And he was this big goofball, huge dog, and just didn't know his size. And he was a funny guy.
I don't know how you can help from not saying, I'm taking this one, I'm taking that one. So here's the next big question. How many pets do you have?
Oh, you know, I actually am in the middle of having pets. I have a golden retriever at home, but he's with my family. So he's the family dog.
And
so I am a foster home for any dog dogs or cats that need it. So no permanent pets at the moment.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet is the key word. It's going to happen one of these days.
Oh, I'm sure, because you just get so attached.
Yeah.
But it's so important to their future.
Yeah.
So what's coming up next for Connecticut Humane? We got to go to the website, cthumane.org. You have events throughout the year. Obviously, folks, we could talk about the heat, you know, how it's so just oppressive.
Yeah.
And you really got to keep your pets safe from that too, right? That's a big topic you've been on the case with, that is doing all the PR on keep your pets safe in the heat.
Exactly. Yeah, the heat, you know, it's a silent killer. It definitely can be deadly and really harsh on pets this time of year. And so that's one of our focuses, is just spreading the word on summer heat and keeping your pets safe, making sure that you're looking out for signs of overheating.
And don't put them in your car.
Yeah.
Even with the car running with the window down. I mean, that is just wrong.
It's just way too hot out there in the sun. It just gets really, really hot, and those dogs cannot handle it.
Right. So. I have a little Shih Tzu, and I took him to the pool the other day. A friend of mine has a pool, and we put him in the pool, and it was hot and it was sunny, but I was worried too, because, you know, his hair was so wet, you could see his, you know, cow print skin. He too could get sunburned, right?
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. Sunburn is real too. So getting those dogs shade for resting, getting them out of the sun, giving them a little spot of air conditioning to sit in is important. The sun can hurt them, so it's important to keep them safe.
Right. And what else are you seeing out there that would be good, useful information for our listeners? What else should we know about?
Absolutely. So one thing that we don't think about is the ground pavement. We all want to take our dogs for walks in the summer, but the pavement gets
so
super hot in the sun.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So that's important. It's just making sure that you
But they got to go out, so what can you do?
Right. So keeping them on the grass.
It's simple.
Yeah. When you're walking, just keep them on the grass. Make sure they have space to walk on that's not just ground pavement. It can just heat up so quickly you don't even realize. I mean, everyone's seen those videos of the eggs frying out in the summer.
Oh, I know, right?
So you don't.
Yeah,
want
I think that's still very relevant. Yeah. We could probably do that a few days out of the summer already. I mean, it's just been it's been incredible. So, what does your population look like? Do you have a lot of pets available for adoption right now?
Yeah, right now at any point in time, we have about 50 pets available for adoption in all three of our locations.
Okay.
So going to the website, checking them out is important. Our website refreshes every 5 minutes automatically.
Really?
Yeah. So it's always up to date. You can always see exactly who's where. But of course, we have all the pets behind the scenes too. So currently available pets change, again, every 5 minutes keeping an eye is important.
All right, and people can also follow you on social media. I know I follow you guys on Facebook, so yes. I get to see all the fun stuff, and it really is fun, and the interaction from the public, which you guys do such a great job at.
Thank you. Yeah, we love interacting with our followers. It's so awesome to see so many people coming to support the pets from any angle, and just hitting that like button or support button to know what's going on. That really gives us a boost in the community. So
where can people follow you?
Yeah.
What do you got? What kind of social media you got?
Yes.
I don't want to say that. So what have you got for social media?
Absolutely. We have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and we are CT Humane or CT Humane Society on all of those.
Right, because there's some confusion about the National Connecticut or the Humane Society of Connecticut, right?
Yes.
And the local Connecticut Humane Society.
Exactly. Okay. We are totally separate. We are not associated with any national humane societies, anything like that. We are a standalone.
So what else do you want our listeners to know? We got about a minute, and I usually give people an opportunity. I mean, what's your call to action, if you will?
Yeah, so we just really love to spread the word about the supporters of the Connecticut Humane Society. Everybody in the community here in the state of Connecticut really makes it possible for pets to get that life-saving care here at the Connecticut Humane Society. And so our call to action is always just support the local pets. Give back if you can, whether that's your time, whether that's a dollar, everything counts.
Well, that's a great message, and I hope people will heed that message. And we've gotten a real good inside look at all the great things that you guys do over there. So thank you for that on behalf of all the animals that can't necessarily speak for themselves, or can they?
They do talk, not in our language. They like to meow.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. I believe my little Shih Tzu talks to us, too. So I think there's some reality in that. Well, Catherine Schubert, thank you so much for coming in and talking to our folks. And again, any information that you want, cthumane.org is the website, and go check out all the programs and answer any questions that you might have. Thanks again.
Thanks for having us.
And of course, we couldn't do this without all of you. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.